The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Let's play action. Going for it all into the end zone, and it is caught. Alshon Jeffrey for the touchdown. Blunt is in the backfield. LeGarrette Blount swings to the outside, inside the 10, Blount to the end zone, behind a Celek block, his 11th career postseason TD. Big hole left side, James White, inside the 10, takes it to the end zone. And they're going to snap it, and it's Trey Burton who throws, caught, Foles, touchdown. Four-man rush, and then it's caught. Gronkowski for the touchdown. Third down and 6. That line does a good job. The pass into the end zone, and it is Corey Clement. Yes, touchdown. Play fake on first down. To the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Hogan. And Brady lost one for Gronkowski. Reaching for it, touchdown. And they go for it. And Foles, under pressure, throws, caught just enough for the first down. Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz out wide, one-on-one.
Clement flares out to the right. Caught over the middle and into the end zone. Zach Ertz for the touchdown. And again, all you can think back to now is the Jesse James play with Pittsburgh. Does he complete the process?
I don't know. But at what point is it loose on the ground?
Gets inside McCourty, who stumbles. Ball pops out.
I'm not even taking a guess.
No.
As he was rolling over, it looked like that's when the ball came out. Does he control it when it gets off the ground? Does the ball actually make contact with the ground?
Second and 2. Whoa. Brady gets hit. The ball is out. And Philadelphia has it. Derek Barnett comes away with it. Lovato to snap it. Donnie Jones to hold it. And it is good. Big time. Brady under pressure. Escapes the sack. Launching one for the end zone. It's a jump ball and it's incomplete. And Gronk was there. And time runs out.
This is the end of the game.
And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over. Finally.
All right. The Eagles finally get it done. Heck of a game. A lot to get to. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the master, back in studio keeping us on air as we are live here at Texas Mattress Makers, the new location in Katy. Come on out. It is at 5026 East 3rd Street. And for all of our people on this side of town, you now have a Texas Mattress Makers. Same great mattresses, same great prices, same great people. So come on out, check it out. If you want to get in today, best way to do it is text the show at 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero in the snow part, at Degenerates975. And, of course, you know the number to text the show. What's up, Hoffman?
Sports, stuff like that. What's up with you, man?
Not much. We had a Super Bowl last night.
There was a bowl, and it was super. Fun game?
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I think I pretty much broke even on all my props, though. I was all over the place.
Yeah, I did about the same. I had a bunch of props on Jay Ajayi that hit. I had Ajayi, Aguilar, and Gronk, like I said, were my prop guys, and all three of them had good games. I missed the first half under. hit the second half over.
Yeah, same thing.
it kind of evened itself out. And I missed my props where I had Eagles win by 1-6 and Pats win by 1-6, which thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, could have easily just won by 6.
Yeah.
Fine. But no, it was a good game, man. It was an entertaining game. If you had told me that Tom Brady would throw for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and the Patriots wouldn't punt the ball once.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's a recipe for
success. It
sounds
like a 55-7 win is what it sounds like.
But alas, it was not to be. It was not to be. And the Eagles played. They had a good game plan. They ran the ball well. Nick Foles looked. I think Nick Foles looked great. His one interception, it's hard to even say was his fault.
Yeah.
And, you know, the defenses were just bad in the game. Both defenses were bad. And the Eagles defense came up big in a moment where they needed it there at the end. In this situation where Tom Brady always goes on game-winning drives, he gets sacked and fumbles the ball. And, you know, the Raiders are it's like circa 2000 are thinking, hey, wouldn't it be great if that rule worked for us? So the Eagles win, and they burn their city down. They eat poop.
They mess up Minnesota, too. I mean,
yeah. Because I wasn't playing a side, I didn't really have much investment in who won. I could care less about either team. It was a little bit different because last year, as you know, I was heavily invested in one side.
Yeah.
This year I wasn't, and it was at least an entertaining game, and I won my squares.
Yeah, I saw you won these squares.
I won two different squares games, both the third quarter. So I had the same numbers in two pools, and I won.
How'd you manage that?
I have no idea. I have dumb luck, but I'll take it.
Yeah, heck yeah, that's. I thought it was a really – I didn't have a rooting interest either. I was kind of glad to see the Eagles win because I have a lot of friends who are Eagles fans, and they were pretty excited. But, when you talk about Brady's stat line, it's not just that he threw for 505 and didn't throw an interception. He was sacked one time in the game.
Yeah.
And it was that one play.
The time that he dropped the ball.
And really that was the difference in the ball game. And the Eagles made one big defensive play when it mattered. The Patriots couldn't. And I thought offensively, I thought Philadelphia had a fantastic game plan, and they used Nick Foles beautifully, and he just picked him apart. And you know, so many times with those, there was just so many open receivers, and he got him the ball. I mean, it was almost as if I think I got to give the Philly staff credit. I think they had a real good feel for what New England was going to do defensively, and took advantage of it the entire game. And now the whole catch thing, I'll be honest, I don't know. I mean,
are we talking about the Ertz catch?
I think it's a catch.
100%, not even a question, that's a catch. He was a runner with the football, and he dove into the end zone. If there's any question, it was on the Clement catch. I think that's a catch, too. So, I mean, I'm not looking to take away touchdowns from guys in the Super Bowl and having questionable calls. But that Ertz one, Collinsworth, if he would have just shut up, there's not even a discussion about
the funny thing is I had him muted the whole second half. I couldn't do it. He's just impossible to listen to.
I think he had some big dough on the Patriots because he was saying, I don't know if that's a catch. And I'm like, dude, that guy ran with the ball from, like, he caught it and then ran from the 5-yard line and then dove
in. Yeah,
that's
the thing. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at that going, okay, does the ground really come into play here?
No.
At that stage?
As long as he breaks the goal line, it's a touchdown. He's a running back at that point.
Yeah, well, that's how I saw it. But
yeah. So Collinsworth tried to make controversy where there wasn't. That's a touchdown. I mean, to me, there's no controversy. The Eagles won. And the Eagles were the better team.
If they hadn't scored on that play, they were going to score anyway.
Yeah. The Eagles were the better team yesterday. The Eagles might have been the better team all season. We just didn't. The Patriots had their way with a crummy AFC and – you know, and then they make the odd choice to not put their best cornerback, the Super Bowl hero from 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I guess.
Yeah,
he plays one snap on special teams, and
what the hell was that?
Bill Belichick's really weird about it, and it's not disciplinary. We just thought that not putting our number one corner out there would give us the best chance to win.
Okay,
that's a That's an odd strategy, Bill. That's like
saying,
"See
how it pays off."
Yeah, we decided that we were going to go with Hoyer instead of Brady tonight. Brady didn't do anything wrong. He's not hurt, but we thought for this matchup, we'd be better served with Brian Hoyer than Tom Brady. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous. But, you know, yeah, Belichick doesn't want to spill the beans on what's really going on.
And just the way he answered it today, too, it's like, well, it would be a really long answer, so I'll just go back to what I said. Like, well, what?
Yeah, give us the long answer.
Yeah.
People want to know why you're doing crazy things.
You got plenty of time now, Bill. The one thing I hoped that teams like the Jaguars and the Texans paid attention to in this game, though, was you have a 4th-and-1 against the Patriots. You got to go for it. You got to take chances against them. You can't be conservative, and I think that's one reason why the Eagles were able to get it done is because they were willing to gamble, and they took shots, and they paid off.
Well, it's funny, if you look at the way the Texans played the Patriots and refused to do anything risky on 3rd and 4th down, the Eagles balls out 3rd and 4th down, and I that's why they won the game to me. They had ballsy play calling. And I think the other thing that's going to go quietly overlooked is Bill Belichick got out coached yesterday.
Yes, he did. His entire staff did.
Yeah.
Philadelphia had a great game plan. And frankly, that Philadelphia game plan looked a lot like the Kansas City game plan at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
In terms of where they were throwing the football. So, and that's, you know, obviously they did a good job of going back and looking at that and saying, hey, now Kansas City ran the ball a little better than Philly did, but Philly ran the ball well enough. And that was really the difference.
Six and a half yards per carry. Yeah. They'll get it done.
Yeah, definitely, especially when you got a guy throwing for 370.
And it was surprising to me that they came out with such a run-heavy game plan early on in that game. I mean, I think they had 4 runs before they threw the ball, or with a pass-heavy plan. I think they had 4 passes before they ran the ball. And I think that may have caught the Patriots off guard a little bit. You know, the Patriots figured, well, the way teams have beat us is they've come in here and hammered us. Yeah. And the Eagles were like, oh, we're going to try something a little different. I thought the Eagles had a really good game plan. I thought they executed it well, and they're a deserving champion.
All right. We need to take a break. Where's the music?
There we go. There it is.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. We come back. I'm gonna throw some hot takes at you, and I want to see if you think somebody actually did them. Be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 live at Texas Mattress Makers in Katy.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. It's the new store. It's at 5026 East 3rd Street. And as a couple of people have pointed out, we're close to no label down here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which... okay, so a couple of things that I just want to mention. If you haven't checked out Sports Map today, lots of great stuff. People seem real interested in Ken Hoffman's new food at Toyota Center story more than anything. But I did 5 hot takes that somebody would come up with today that are all ridiculous. So I'm going to ask you which of these that A, you don't think is ridiculous, or B, that you don't think anybody actually did.
Okay.
Number 1, the Eagles should trade Carson Wentz.
I don't think anybody's actually saying that.
I think I'm pretty sure there's a fan somewhere in Philadelphia. Hey, we just won with Nick Foles.
No. If that's a real Eagle fan, they saw more than one game this year, and they know who the man is in that town.
They won the Super Bowl with him.
That's cool.
What do you think the Browns would pay for him?
For Wentz?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd probably give up both their first round picks, the first and the fourth. But I don't think that's happening.
I guarantee you somebody somewhere said that. It's dumb.
It's
a hot take, all right? Here's another one for you. Tom Brady's done.
There's definitely people saying that.
He also threw for over 500 yards.
Yeah.
He also just 2 weeks ago had another one of those comebacks.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah. Here's one that I actually saw somebody write. The Patriots lost 3 Super Bowls. They aren't that great.
No, I'm sure people have said that, but yeah, that's
the greatest dynasty of the Super Bowl era. I mean, 8 trips to the Super Bowl, 5 titles.
I will
titles.
Say this, and maybe, well, I'll finish yours first, and then you can tell me if this is a hot take or not.
Okay, because there's 2 more.
Okay.
The Patriots won't get out of the AFC next year.
I don't think that's a ridiculous
hot take. No, I don't either. But I do think that's one that people would say they're favored again to win the Super Bowl at 5-1. But I think there's a lot of questions, and not just Malcolm Butler, but I think they need to re-sign Nate Solder. You've got to replace all your coaches, basically. I think there's a lot of question marks, and I do think that there are going to be some really intriguing teams next year. I don't think the Steelers are going anywhere. I think the Jaguars, if they fix their quarterback situation, could very well be a threat. I mean, if Deshaun Watson stays healthy, I think the Texans could conceivably be a threat.
Yeah, the rest of their team's pretty horrible.
They've got enough there to win with that guy, but they're going to have to go sign some people, and they're going to have to spend some money this offseason, but they got money to spend. They need to spend good money, but I think that one's not necessarily ridiculous. Here's one I actually saw typed out in black and white. This was the best Super Bowl ever.
No, not even close.
You remember last year? Yeah. Last year's was a little better. So, I had some fun with that. I just threw out the takes that I knew people would be.
Maybe I'll give my hot take then. You can laugh at me if you want.
Okay.
I think this is the end of the Patriots dynasty. I don't think this Patriots group is going to be back in a Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's very similar to number 4, that they don't get out of the AFC next year.
Well, I don't think they get back. I think this was Tom Brady's last Super Bowl.
Okay.
So maybe that's a – is that a hot take?
Yeah, I mean, it's a
– is it a ridiculous hot take?
I don't know that it's ridiculous. I think it's a little premature.
I just think that – and I said it all season long. This is the worst the Patriots have been in years. They didn't look as bad because the rest of the AFC was pretty horrible too. I mean, when the Jacksonville Jaguars and Blake Bortles are in the AFC Championship, you know, there's some wiggle room in the AFC. But I just think that this is
somebody did the Carson Wentz thing. Told you.
I think that this was sort of the if they could get there with this team, and I don't think Tom Brady's going to keep getting better at this point. I think that this was probably their last shot at it. Which, by the way, you still went to 8 Super Bowls with 1 quarterback. That's nothing to sneeze at. It's still, like you said, the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. But I do think this is the end of it.
I don't know. I still think that a lot depends on the offseason. They've got a lot of questions. But I still don't – I mentioned a bunch of teams that maybe could challenge them next year, but they're all teams with flaws.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why the Patriots were able to get back. I do think, you know, I don't know, maybe Kansas City does take a step forward with Mahomes and become something. Maybe the Broncos go out and get Kirk Cousins and become the Broncos again, although I think the window may have closed on that team the way they were.
You want to hear something crazy?
Crazier than they're done?
Or maybe so.
Okay.
Maybe I should, and, you know, you could take odds for what they are, but if I were to go through the favorites or go through the odds for the Super Bowl next year, and I told you that the Patriots were number 1.
Yeah, 5-1.
And the Steelers were number 5. How much further do you think I'd have to get before I hit another AFC team?
I would assume the Jaguars would be next on that list.
You'd assume wrong.
Really?
How about this? Patriots 1.
Okay.
Packers 2.
Okay.
Eagles 3. Vikings 4. Steelers 5.
Okay. I don't really see anything wrong with that, except okay. I think the Patriots are too short. I could see them being the favorite, but not half the price of the other guys.
The next 4 are all the same price at 18-1. Falcons, Cowboys, Rams, Saints. So that's 6-9.
Okay.
49ers are 10th at 20-1.
Interesting.
The Carolina Panthers are 11th at 25-1.
We still haven't gotten to another AFC
so
team.
So 9 of the first 11 teams are NFC teams. Number 12, at 25-1, your Houston Texans.
Boy, I was hoping for more value than that.
25-1.
But that's your third favorite in the AFC.
That's
right
your
now.
Third favorite in the AFC.
Interesting.
Jags 28-1, Chiefs 28-1, Seahawks 28-1, which the Seahawks are the 10th pick in the NFC. That's got to be considered value. Broncos, Colts, Chargers, Raiders, all at 33-1. Ravens and Lions and Bucks at 40-1.
You're really counting on Andrew Luck coming back and being great if you got them at 33 in that group.
I tend to think that Andrew Luck is going to be back week one. 33-1 is not a bad number if that's the case. I mean, if you're willing to assume that Deshaun Watson is going to be back and healthy and 25-1 on the Texans, I mean, I think 33-1 on Luck, a guy who's been to AFC Championship game, I think that's not a bad number. Obviously, there's a lot to be seen on what happens with what quarterbacks end up where.
Right. I would think, especially with the news we saw over the weekend, that Kirk Cousins' first choice would be the Vikings.
Oh, boy. That makes them serious.
I think that contenders. Would give their – that gives that number a lot of value to me.
You want to know – there's two teams at 100-1.
Okay.
You want to guess them?
I think Chicago and Cleveland would be my guess.
Those are the correct guesses.
It's probably because I looked at the odds earlier today and then remembered that.
There's four teams at 66-1. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Bengals, and the lowly Buffalo Bills. They made the playoffs, and they're 66-1. Come on. That's disrespect.
Well, that's the thing. I'm a little surprised at the Jags being the price they are, considering they just made it to the AFC Championship game with Blake Bortles at quarterback.
I think you got value there with the Jags.
Yeah.
I think that there's – I mean, I think there's a couple teams that I see some real value with. I think the Jags are one. I think the Rams at 18-1 is pretty good value. With what we saw out of them this year, their defense is so strong.
Yeah.
They look like they've got a good coach.
Yeah, but you know what worries me about them? And I was thinking about that today when I was looking at the odds, is the erosion that comes with Wade Phillips' defense year to year.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think you got so much out of that team this year. Do you really – I don't know that Jared Goff is – I'm not sold on Jared Goff yet.
That's fair.
And, yeah, he took a big step forward this year. Can he take that next step? If he can, then there's great value there. If not, I don't know.
I think best value on the board, though, is Seahawks at 28-1.
And Seahawks and Jags, I think, to me.
Yeah, Jags are also 28-1.
I don't think they should be that price.
Yeah, I think there's pretty good value in those two numbers.
So – it is interesting, and I think my favorite story was
teams too short. New England's way too short.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any part of that. I think Green Bay's too short
at 9-1. I think you might be right.
I mean, are we really going in saying that they are the best team in the NFC? I mean, I think they're one of them if Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
Yeah,
but I don't think the Vikings are going anywhere in that division.
And who else is too short? Cowboys might be too short at 18-1.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Cowboy.
Niners might be too short at 20-1. I think they're going to be really good. I still don't think they've got enough talent to do it next year. And I think the Browns are a little short at 100-1.
Yeah. That, well, depends on what they do at quarterback.
No, it doesn't. Let's be serious, Fred. No, it doesn't.
Well, it might get them down to 100-1. Danimal says Jags will struggle to make the playoffs with a first-place schedule. That's one of the biggest...
That's three games.
No, it's two games.
Two games, yeah.
Yeah, it's two games on your schedule.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I like that team moving. I do think there will be some regression with them, but I still think they're a 10-6 type team.
Yeah.
And yeah, it depends. I mean, it just depends on the quarterback situation there. If they bring back Blake Bortles, does he take another step? If they don't bring him back, I mean, yeah, I still think Alex Smith would have been the perfect acquisition for them. But we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting. You know, this is the first offseason where you've had a bunch of quarterbacks presumably available that would be interesting to have.
Yeah.
And the Texans aren't in the market for once. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
So it means there's going to be no disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
This is
a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live out here at Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. If you need a place to get a new mattress, save a bunch of money, do business with some really cool people, come out here and see my man Lex. He'll take care of you. He'll put you on a great mattress. You will sleep like a champ. And you're going to save at least 50% guaranteed off of what you're spending anywhere else because they make them right here at the factory. All right, 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. 979 says, if Mahomes doesn't suck, there's a really good value with the Chiefs. Their defense will be nasty, and they have playmakers.
Yeah, but I also there's a lot of questions about Mahomes. I mean, you betting on a guy making his first year as a quarterback to make the Super Bowl? I'm not.
Yeah, and I also think
– I think that division is going to be better.
Division is going to be better. You just lost your offensive coordinator who really rejuvenated your offense over the second half of the season. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be a very – it's well, the offseason is going to be huge here for a lot of teams. I think if a team like Jacksonville is going to have to do something at the quarterback position, whether it's get some competition for Bortles or he has to improve from within, and that I wonder if he can do that. But second year with the staff, maybe he gets better. You know, I look at a team like the Colts, and I think they have a lot of holes besides Andrew Luck.
You know, oh yeah,
and if he doesn't come back healthy, I think they're in trouble. But I also think if he comes back and he's Andrew Luck we've seen before, they add a few things. They're going to be pretty good. I mean, I think they need some help on defense. And we all know the Texans' problems. And I think the other thing the Texans need to be looking at besides five new offensive linemen, which I would spend every dime on offensive linemen and corners and safeties. I also think they need another big body inside. I think they kind of missed the Vince Wilfork factor last year.
Yeah, even though Vince Wilfork wasn't.
He wasn't great, but he was better than what they got this year.
Yeah.
And so I do think that there's some holes there, and I think you could fill a lot of them. But – you know, they also I need one of these receivers that they've drafted every year to step up too. Now, maybe Will Fuller is that good when Deshaun Watson's in there, but I mean that I do think that's a team that could be very interesting. But you got to fix that offensive line and you got to fix the secondary, and I think they're going to have money to do it. There's some bodies they can get rid of, and you know we'll see what happens here when we get closer to the league year. But I think that's they're going to have a lot to spend. Now spend it smart, because to be honest, that's what the Jaguars did. I mean, they drafted really well, and then they went out and spent some money on some guys at positions in need and built up their defense. I think Texans have to do the same thing with the offensive line. Now, I don't know who's going to be available.
I think the Texans and the Colts are basically in the same boat. They're teams that need a lot of help across their rosters, but they both have quarterbacks that – At least we assume can, if they're healthy, be franchise-changing quarterbacks. We've only seen six games of Deshaun Watson, but I think most people agree that what we saw looked pretty special.
Right.
And granted, if you just said, hey, I saw RG3's rookie year, it looked pretty special too. That's fair. I mean, and I always want to see a guy's second year before I start to crown him. But from what we saw, it looks like he could be I think he's going to be a franchise quarterback. If those guys, if Deshaun Watson or Andrew Luck aren't healthy, you might as well not even bother discussing either of those teams because they don't have enough talent to carry them without those guys.
Yeah, although
they both proved it this year.
And I think Josh Jordan wrote this during the season that the Texans had become the Colts. But I would say the one difference is that there's a lot more base talent on defense with the Texans than there is with the Colts, especially if everybody's healthy. And that's the main thing. But you've got your front seven there is pretty good if you have Merciless and Watt back. And I think Bernard McKinney's turned into a nice player. Cunningham should get better. I mean, they're at least at the front seven, I think, even with Brian Cushing being put to pasture, which I'm certain they're going to do.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good front seven. The secondary needs some help. I don't know that the Colts have those kind of players.
No, I would say they don't, and I would say that the Colts are probably better off in the secondary and worse off on the front end. And Malcolm Butler's obviously a pretty solid piece. And what happens with him is that's going to be, or not Malcolm Butler, Darius Butler. That's going to be a big factor in how their defense looks, if he's back or not. So
yeah.
But yeah, I think either way you're looking at, and I saw that today Deshaun Watson resumed running. Which is, that's good news. That's real good news. Now, granted, that's once you're able to run, that means you're still nowhere near ready to play football and to get hit, but it's definitely a positive sign.
Yeah, at this stage, because
no doubt, you
know that is a long-term injury, and there was some talk that maybe Carson Wentz isn't even ready for the start of the season next year because of where his happened. So it's good to see. I'm not too worried about him coming back healthy. I'm just worried about keeping him healthy behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the bigger issue.
And there's legitimately zero way to fix their entire offensive line in the offseason.
Right.
I think they can probably replace two guys. You're still not going to be a good offensive line. You're going to hopefully, knock on wood, you're better. But what if the guys you replace them with are another Xavier Suofilo?
Well, and that's the thing. And they've made that mistake before by not keeping Brandon Brooks and
yep.
taking Allen. That was a downgrade. So I do think they're going to have to. The key's not just going out and signing people. The key is signing the right people.
Right.
And you hope that Brian Gain can do that. You hope that Bill O'Brien or whoever is really in charge of this now can do that. I'm not convinced, but that's what we'll have the offseason for. And if they go out and I think if the Patriots decide to move on from Nate Solder, that's a guy you better be on the phone with. And if Malcolm Butler is another guy I'd be talking to as well. And I think all of those are guys that you add a couple of those guys here and there, and add a couple offensive linemen, you can change the makeup of your team pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And we saw the Jaguars do it. And we've seen other teams do it. Ordinarily, winning free agency doesn't win you the Super Bowl. But I think what Jacksonville's done augmenting its roster, and I think the Colts are kind of in the same position as the Texans. If they go and add a few of those pieces, then they could be pretty good too. I think the whole AFC South, although I do like that Mike Vrabel hired a defensive coordinator with some experience. I was worried about that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good step. But I do think that you've got a high variance with the Colts and the Texans because of the injuries, but if they're good, and I expect Jacksonville to be good, and if you can get Tennessee to be what they were last year, it's going to be a damn good division next year, I think.
I think so, too.
713-780-ESPN, if you wish to text the show, and we're going to have a guest here next, talk a little rugby.
Oh, cannot wait, Fred.
I know you can't.
I've been looking forward to that all day. I'm going to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. I know you've been looking forward to me telling you about that.
Absolutely.
Because they're a born and raised in Texas company, which is a good thing, obviously. And they know, listen, they know it's not fun to shop for electricity rates. It sucks, let's be fair. But Tri-Eagle, they're trying to make it easier for you. They've got simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. They've got an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bills. You could sign up for the basic Eagle 12. That'll lock you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use our promo code ESPN. You're going to receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for what your energy charges are going to be before your bill even goes out. What are you waiting for, guys? It's an easy decision you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Texas Mattress Makers in Katy. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com, your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the Internet. The site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts.
Hey, including me, I have a really good story on there today. Please go. I have two good stories. I had a J.J. Watt NFL Man of the Year story on there as well. And go check out SportsMap. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Joel Blank had a column on there today. And as a matter of fact, if you go on the site, you'll find some. We have a rugby video and a rugby story. And joining us now from the Sabercats, Ozea. And I tell you what, did you watch that game last night? I'm sure you did. You had to have, right?
No, I haven't been into football, so I haven't been here 3 months, so I'm going to get into it. But I got the news of the boys, you know, went training this morning. The boys were going off. Some of the boys, they were Eagles fans. It was like Eagles won with this Eagles beanie on. And the Pets boys were really just giving him shit about Eagles winning. And one of them actually plugged the TV off on the at the Toms. So.
Well, I just figured you'd watch that and say, oh, those guys are wimps. They're wearing helmets and stuff. Not like us, right?
Nah. It's quite similar, so, the heat and
yeah, I've been to a few rugby matches, and I really enjoy the fact that there is some similarities to it. But you got a pretty impressive resume. You were at the you won a gold medal at the Olympics with the sevens. Your face is on the $7 bill. Is that correct? And first off, you have a $7 bill in Fiji?
Yeah, we got it just because to commemorate what we did at the Olympics, because Fiji had never won a medal at the Olympic, so of any kind, and winning a gold at the Olympic was such a huge thing for the country, and they decided, like, we're going to get a $7 bill because of sevens, just to commemorate the win and, you know, leave a legacy of what the boys achieved at the Olympics.
You have a bunch of those, and you have them, like, framed?
I have one framed at home, so...
So you got to be like a rock god in Fiji.
It's big in Fiji. Rugby, it's a national sport, and, you know, people follow sevens in Fiji. And you walk on the streets, and young kids walk up to you, and they'll tell you, like, you know, I think you should do this. You know, 6-year-olds, the team is not doing well, and they know the coach and everybody. So.
Well, it's always fun to have a whole country of assistant coaches telling you what to do. So how'd you wind up in Houston? This is obviously a new thing, and there's a lot of people here that are pretty excited about it. But how'd you wind up here?
Yeah, obviously after a four-year cycle in Olympics, it takes a lot, 4 years to train and be mentally fit for the Olympics. I needed a new challenge, and I needed a break for a while. So Fitzy calls me up and, you know, tells me the dream and tells me, like, you know, America, what you want to do after rugby? Was like, after rugby, I want to get into coaching rugby and, you know, giving back. And he's like, what way to give back? Then, you know, come to America. There's a new league starting off and you can share your experience with youth that are coming up and, you know, new to the sport. And you can share about rugby and the love of rugby and what have you learned over the years. And I was like, okay.
What do you, how do you like it here so far? How about the food? What food have you gotten into here?
Food. We don't have Chick-fil-A back home, so I'm really liking Chick-fil-A right now.
Oh, man, you got to watch the food here, though, if you're going to stay in shape.
But, that's what they tell me.
Yeah. But now, how's it been from an adjustment standpoint? Just, I mean, it is a very different country, and how have you found it so far? Just you personally adjusting to being in America?
Yeah, we're adjusting to Houston life with my wife, and I find that the weather is quite similar. They say, oh, it gets hot in Houston and summer. It's like, we don't have winter back home. So it's something I can relate to, and we have summer all year round. And we're adjusting it, and especially with the rugby and the boys, you know, coming out. It's like, Oscar, you got to go see this. And there's a rodeo coming up. You know, if you want to experience it, the boys are going to the rodeo, and they're planning, like, you know, you should dress up, and you got to experience these things in order to experience Houston and Texan life. So we're getting there.
So did you get some cowboy boots?
I'm trying to. I went to a shop, like, you know, I didn't know about how expensive cowboy boots are.
So oh, yeah.
Like, we were looking at our team, I was like, let's check out cowboy boots. I picked up something, I was like, $700 for a cowboy boots?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's just put it back. And
yeah, don't break that. Well, yeah, you got to do the rodeo. That's one of those Houston things. It's
You don't have to. I've never been to the rodeo. I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, but you're not from
Fiji. People riding cows. It's like, yeah, I mean... You can see that in Fiji if you want, I bet. I mean,
yeah, there's cows back home.
Yeah. All you got to do is say, I'll give you $50 to ride that cow. You've seen the rodeo.
Without the cowboy hat.
Yeah, no hat. You don't need it.
Well, one thing I kind of noticed, you guys have a pretty long preseason here. I think you have six matches, I believe. Is that just because this is the first year, or is that common for rugby that you have that long of a
preseason? No, I think it's because it's just starting off, and I suppose in around Houston, rugby is not that big. So we wanted to start early and get a lot of games on, so the players get used to the parents and the game parents get used to each other, because we're forming a new club, and obviously there's a lot of us from all over the place. And so it's kind of a good thing that we're playing these matches, so we find what works and what doesn't work and how we can improve on each game.
Do you get anybody else from Fiji on the team with you?
Yeah, I have Josh on the team. So we played together for a few years.
So that's got to help a little bit, having somebody you know here.
Yeah, having him around, and just if somebody calls me in the field, like in Fijian language, I know that it's Josh calling me. It's like on the other day, somebody was giving us some of the players, like, why don't you pass to me? You just pass to Josh. And I was like, because Josh calls me out all the time. Like, I said, oh, so you just passed to a Fijian, eh? I was like, because he calls me in the native language, so I just, okay, I'm going to give it to Josh now.
Are there any Americans on the team?
A lot of Americans.
A lot?
A lot.
Do they kind of suck at rugby, though?
The Americans in my team are good at rugby, right?
They are good? Yeah. Are they better than you?
Better than me.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. These guys don't know what they're doing here. No, Americans, we don't know anything about that.
We're getting there. Like, we played Uruguay. Uruguay just beat Canada to qualify for the World Cup in 2009.
Everybody beats Canada.
Yeah. So they beat Canada, and we played Uruguay, 18 in the world. We could have beat them by 4 points. We lost them by 4 points. And I was like, that's just so, you know, a team where we are playing a country, and we're a club team from Houston.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And getting close to beat them, so.
All right. Well, the games are out at Constellation Field, and SaberCats will be cranking up pretty soon, so check them out. Jose, we appreciate the time, and good luck to you this season. And I'll make it out there for a game or two. See, and you know, if you do poorly, I'll mention it on air.
Hopefully, I'll see you do that.
All right. That's Jose. He plays for the SaberCats. Go check them out, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to getting out there for some games. I really am. I was actually thinking about going Saturday, and then I got to be out the racetrack. So
you're always at the racetrack.
I know, but live there. That's my job, AJ.
It's hard times. What a hard life you're living.
Yeah, I get paid to go to the racetrack. My life sucks.
Very difficult.
So tell people about Pajamagram.
Pajamagram? Yeah. Guys, check it out. There's a brand new technology that's going to drive your lady wild for Valentine's Day. It's probably not what you're thinking, though. It's even better than that. It's called Micro Velvet. It's created by the PJ experts at Pajamagram. It's found only in the Tempting Touch PJs. They are simply the softest, most luxurious pajamas ever imagined. Addictively soft. They're so soft, they beg to be touched. Go to pajamagram.com. Get the blissful comfort you know she deserves. This is a higher level of soft, softer than her sweetest dreams and yours. They're relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch. And when she's happy, you're going to be happy. Valentine's gift has never felt this tempting. You don't have to gift wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Valentine's Day delivery is guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIFT-PJs today. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.